It's time for Budweiser's From the Sidelines, presented by North Ridgeville Convenience Sunoco on Center Ridge and Barton Roads. And joining me now is Fox 8's own John Telich. JT, how are we doing today?
We are great. How about you, Mr. Rocco?
I am hanging in there just fine. And I want to ask you how those Browns are hanging in there, namely Myles Garrett missed practice earlier this week with a hamstring issue. Doesn't necessarily seem to be anything serious there. But elsewhere, the Browns get Anthony Walker back. So my question for you, JT, where are the Browns now on the injury front?
Well, I think with Myles, they're going to be very cautious, as they usually would be, such a long year. He was explosive on Sunday at the Orange and Brown practice at the stadium. A few plays, just it wasn't even fair, you know, to see how quick he blew in there and got close to the QB. But he's got that hamstring, and they're just going to take it, as the proverbial coaches are wont to say, day by day. And as we take this, they have not said his status for Saturday. But I would just go ahead and think that why would you even want to have him play? Just make sure he gets over this hamstring situation. Now, what was real cool to see the first day that Anthony Walker was back, he had only been out of drills roughly a week. And when Kevin Stefanski said a week ago that it would not require surgery and you're looking at approximately a week plus to see him back, he was on the field on Tuesday. He looked great. I showed a couple of pieces of a video that our photographer got of him, and some of it was just close contact, hitting some bags and things of that nature. And then I saw him from across the field, and he was dropping back into coverage areas and then sprinting forward. He looked like he was moving pretty well, so nothing to worry about there. The one thing to kind of watch here as they go a long ways here, Rocco, is Ward has been held out of practice a couple of days because of soreness, so they're going to watch him. But Grant Delpit, when you come back from one thing, there's always the effects of the rest of your body, and maybe you'll be dinged up a little bit on the other. The one thing he's coming back from, as you all know, is an Achilles, but yet now he's dealing with a hamstring issue, and so they've been really conservative with him in that regard. It's kind of like the yin and the yang. You know, you get nicked by one injury, and then as your body compensates for it coming back, you may be affected in that way. So, J.C. Treader did come out of practice, got rolled up upon on Tuesday, and then I believe was able to get back in there. So as they head into Saturday, I'm sure Kevin's got his plan, but they're going to be conservative. You're looking at one more game in the schedule this year and a long schedule, that doesn't even start. As we sit here and talk right now, they're still a month away from playing a real game. So there's a lot left in the preseason.
Is it too late to start stocking up on bubble wrap there, John, to protect some of these guys? Jeez.
I think there's a cottage industry in the making. If you just go out and have somebody deliver some bubble wrap to your favorite NFL player.
There you go. Hey, since we last spoke, Josh Allen, quarterback for the Bills, inked a new six-year, $258 million extension with, I believe, what, $150 million of that guaranteed?
Yeah.
So you know where I'm going with this. What does that mean for Baker?
Sure. Well, he came south of what Patrick Mahomes got. Patrick got like 45 average or so. And so Josh had a great, phenomenal season, and he really did improve. So he averages at like 43. Baker, who continues to not want to talk about it, but continues to be asked about the contract negotiations, and just says, the most important thing is to be a winning football player, football team, and everything will take care of itself. But Baker, with his strategy, with his agents, I'm assuming, is hoping that kind of money, already the bar being set by Josh of 43, could get him somewhere in the neighborhood. Now, is he worth more than Josh Allen? I don't think so. But was Jared Goff worth the kind of money that he got when he got his contract from the Rams a few years ago? Probably not as well. So being prudent, I think, Baker, I think this thing will just take care of itself eventually. If he balls out this year, and I think here's the thing you got to look at. last year he improved immensely. We saw what 1 year with Kevin would do for him. We're going to see how that second year, the first time this has ever happened in Baker's career, second year in a system, same coaches, same this, same that. We'll see how much he improves in that regard. And the biggest litmus test will be if you face a situation like the Browns faced in that game against Kansas City in the playoffs, where it's a 22-17 score, and everybody and their brother knows that more than likely you're going to have to either be in shotgun or you're taking the ball from center, but more than likely you're going to be dropping back to throw, you've got to be able to deliver. And that was an instance where, you know, Baker could have made a huge name for himself in that regard, but it didn't work out. There'll be some instances this year where he'll have to take the game over, if you will, and not be able to rely as much on Chubb or Hunt or what have you. And those will be the times where he can be quote-unquote legendary, you know, because he certainly believes that in himself, mm-hmm. or he can, you know, get the job done in a more pedestrian way, if you will. So the ball's in his court, doesn't seem to be a super hurry to get it done, and they want him, he wants them. Eventually it's going to get done.
John Telich from Fox 8, our guest here on Budweiser's From the Sidelines, presented by North Ridgeville Convenient Sunoco on Center Ridge and Barton Roads. Shifting gears a bit here, John, earlier this week, the taunting rule video was kind of floated around social media. Clearly a mixed bag of reactions from that. Just wanted to get your thoughts on that.
Well, I think you got to worry if you have explosively emotional players like Jarvis Landry on your team, and he's been, you know, flagged for said taunting in the past, so that's something to watch going forward. And if it's flagrant, and he does that, and it costs him being the rule is going to be a couple of those instances, and they throw you out of the game. So he's really going to have to watch himself. There may be other guys I'm not talking about, but I just mentioned Jarvis because he has been the one that's kind of been, you know, the most predominant in being emotional once he makes a play and doing so, making some demonstrative thing on the field. So it's something they're going to have to watch. And I'm sure Kevin is already preaching, the do's and don'ts of this kind of a landscape and how it really could affect your team. And there's the other side of it. Some guys, that's how they are fueled too. You know, Jarvis Landry, is a guy that has overcome a lot. He's become one of the top receivers, you know, consistently in the league. And that kind of emotional fuel that he has each and every snap, it bubbles to the surface and you see that. Well, now if he lets that happen more than not, they might get burned for it. So that's not good.
Yeah, no, not at all. Moving along here, actually sticking in the realm of wide receivers here, John, you sent me your star of camp so far, an interesting name here. I'll let you do the reveal on who you think this is. but why do you think it is this person, and who is it?
Well, it's Donovan Peoples-Jones. He's just looked great in camp, and it didn't matter who was throwing to him. Some people are surmising that, you know, he would be the number three receiver, even moving ahead of Higgins, but, you know, I don't think anybody's declaring anything to that regard right now. With OBJ, you know, OBJ's kind of not really doing the team drills, segments of practice. They're being conservative with him. You know, he does a lot of individual drills. Then he might, you know, be put on the shelf for the next day or at least back off. So they're watching there. But Donovan Peoples-Jones, bigger, stronger, faster than he was a year ago. And what was beautiful about his game a year ago is he was involved in all phases of the game. You know, he was on all the four phases of the of special teams. Obviously, he made some big plays on the offensive side of the ball, won a game against the Cincinnati Bengals with a catch. There's a lot there to like, and it just seems like his ability to go up in the air, to be strong, to come away with the football, it's not diminished one bit. It's only getting better. And there's so much to like about this guy, really. And when you consider he was a sixth-round pick, that even makes it more remarkable what he has done so far. So I think his curve is upward. He's, you know, if I were one of those guys with one of those CNBC stock shows, I would say buy and, you know, take it from there.
Hey, OBJ, DPJ, I don't know if it matters which J Baker Mayfield tries to find. Right, it doesn't matter. Either one will make a play. Biggest upgrade of the offseason, you said it was Johnson. Why is that?
Well, because I think a year ago, and some of it was not really his doing. Anderson Dejo playing in the back of the defense. The defense with so many moving parts, with all the injuries, with Greedy out, with Kevin Johnson being injured, other people in the linebacking core. All that happened with the defense a year ago, and Joe Woods having to do what he had to do. They were vulnerable back there, and in comes J.J. the third, John Johnson the third, great communicator, phenomenally upbeat guy, a leader, helps to put everybody else in the right spots. I know they have, you know, utmost confidence in him as a pro, and with he and Troy Hill, and obviously with Ward and the rookie Johnson, Newsom, I should say, and also Greedy Williams and what have you. They've got a lot of talent in that defensive secondary, and I just think John Johnson kind of comes in and puts his foot down and says, this is how we lead, this is how we compete, and everything he has said that he wants to do or is about, he's gone out there and played in that manner.
Good. I think they need that in the secondary, and I'm right there with you. I think there is a lot of talent in that secondary, John. It's just a matter of putting it together this season with some inexperience still within that group. So you get your first preseason battle on Saturday. They'll pay the Jacksonville Jaguars a visit. Our friend Urban Meyer in charge of them this year. What can we expect on Saturday?
Well, it's going to be curious to see. He's got some NFL coaches, you know, on the offensive side of the football. It's just going to be interesting to see how he attacks things on the offensive side. Obviously, they have Trevor Lawrence, phenomenal talent. I think he's going to be a very, very good NFL quarterback, and I don't think there's going to be a huge learning curve for him. How do you use Travis Etienne? Will he be used the way he was in college? And again, the difference between the college game with where the hash marks are located on the college game versus the pros, where they're more towards the center of the field. How is Urban Meyer going to have a offensive philosophy with that kind of a landscape set before him? Obviously, he's been flagged already for his what he was coaching, some of his techniques in preseason, getting fined by the NFL. So he's got a learning curve on just how to do things in this league, and he comes to Jacksonville knowing that in the past, like, you know, he graded his practices. Guys were graded on how well they performed each and every practice, and that had emphasis as to who was going to get the playing time. That was a great thing in college. How does that translate to the National Football League? And then just, you know, how is he game days? Obviously, it's an exhibition game, so everything's going to be kind of vanilla as to how they attack you defensively. But just, you know, how will he handle himself? I'm really excited to see what he does, not just on the exhibition level, but what kind of a pro coach Urban Meyer can be. And can he be one of the different types of guys that went, like Jimmy Johnson did, from the college ranks and then went to the pros and was very, very successful? That obviously remains to be seen. And there's going to be a ton of interest, I think, people here in Ohio just to see how Jacksonville does this year, because of the past and because Urban Meyer's got the history, Ashton Beulah, Bowling Green, Ohio State, those types of influences that he's had in his career. It's going to be fun to see how he is.
Oh, yeah, I'm very intrigued in them this year. I wouldn't have given a hoot and a half about the Jaguars had had Urban not went down there. So, yeah, certainly we'll see his first NFL head coaching experience this Saturday, 7 o'clock kickoff between the Browns and Jaguars down there in Jacksonville. So looking forward to that one. John, thank you very much for the time today on Budweiser's From the Sidelines, again presented by North Ridgeville Convenience Sunoco. Great work out of you from training camp. Looking forward to catching up some more next week, JT.
I do too, buddy, and everybody stay healthy. First and foremost, no injuries, and take another step this week and see how the Browns progress as a team as they get ready towards the that date in Kansas City in week one.
Can't come soon enough. Thanks again, JT. Appreciate it.
You got it.